This chazar is echin eshbach ches rishag rabbi yehuda mizeches kedush and daf chav zayin. When acquiring the kit with kinyan agav, does the seller need to explicitly say that he's accomplishing the kinyan with agav or not? And for the Gemara has previously brought down a number of Mishnais and Brises that discuss kinyan agav and never once said it has to be explicitly mentioned by the seller. So the chayyur, you don't have to mention it. Fekmar does not approve. The seller would certainly have to tell the buyer, I want you to be kaina, and generally has to tell him that. And there's no mention of him saying that either. So it could be that it's understood that he said that. So maybe it's also understood that he said the kinyan agav, even though the Mishnah and the Brises doesn't say so. The Gemara paskins that the movable items do not need to be piled onto the land that are being used for the kinyan agav, but the seller must explicitly state bikoina and bikoina with kinyan agav. For the Gemara, what if the field is being sold and the movable items are being given as a gift? Could a kinyan agav be used? Or it says, from the story of Rabbi Gamaliel on the ship, we see that it would be effective. In that case, he rented the land to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva and gave the produce on that land as a gift, and it was effective. Shema Amino. For the Gemara, what if the field is being transferred to one person and the movable property is being transferred to another person? And for the Gemara, again, in the story of Rabbi Gamaliel on the ship, we see that he rented the land to Rabbi Akiva and the produce on the land was given to the poor people. This shows that both kinyanim are effective, even though there are two different people on the receiving end. Talking about this is not a proof for two reasons. Number one, when he rented the land, it was rented for the poor people as well. Second of all, number two, since Rabbi Akiva was the one in charge, he was the gabbai tzedakah for the aniyim, he was collecting it for the poor people. Renting to him was like renting to the poor people themselves. Rava says, Zakti Gemara, agav only works when the movable items are paid in full. They were already paid for. If they were not paid for yet in full, the kinyan only works for the amount of movable items that were already paid for. Versus the brisa that's proof to Rava. The brisa says, a kinyan with money is stronger than a kinyan with shtar in some respects, and a kinyan with shtar is stronger than a kinyan with money in other respects. A kinyan with money is stronger in that money can be used to redeem hegdish and maisa sheni, whereas shtar cannot. A kinyan with shtar is stronger in that shtar can be used to release a woman from marriage, whereas money cannot. Both of these are stronger than chazaka, in that they both can be used to acquire an eved ivri, and chazaka is stronger than both of these, in that when one is buying 10 properties in 10 countries and makes chazaka on one of them, he's kind of all of them. Now this is true only if he had already paid for 10 properties of the Brisa. If he had not, he's only kind of the fields for which he had paid. Now, this is similar to the idea of Rava with regard to being kind of movable property along with kinyan agav. And we see the Chayra, the Svara, is a proof to Rava. Verse that this Brisa is actually a proof to Shmuel, who says that if someone buys 10 properties in 10 countries, as soon as he does chazak on one of them, he is kind of all of them. Rabacha son Ravika said Shmuel has to be right, because if a seller handed over to a buyer 10 animals tied with one halter and told him be kaina, he would surely be kaina. So the same is with 10 properties. The Rabbanan told the Racha, the case is not similar. In the case of the animal, all 10 are bound in the buyer's hand. In the case of the properties, they're not. Others say that Racha, the son of Ravika, said the person will surely not be kaina all 10 properties based on the act of one act of chazaka. Why? We see this from the case of a seller who handed over to a buyer 10 animals tied with one halter and told him to be kaina, where he would surely not be kaina. The same is with the 10 properties. The Rabbanan told the Racha, the cases are not similar. In the case of the animal, each animal is a separate entity. However, land is all part of one earth, and therefore it's connected, and therefore making a kinyan on one could work for the others. Mishnah 7 Zoykin San Chasim V'chulu. Ula said, we learned that the concept of Gilgal Shu is deraisa based on the pasuk regarding Saita, where she says, V'amra Isha Amen Amen. Mishnah explains, why does a woman have to answer Amen Amen? Why does she say it twice? So she's saying Amen to the curse, Amen to the oath. She's saying Amen she wasn't Mizana for this man, Amen she wasn't Mizana with another man. She's saying Amen she was not Mizana as an Arusa or as an Asua. Amen she was not Mizana as a Shemeres Yavam or after having been married to the Yavam. Now, what's the case of an arusa? It can't be talking about where she was warned as an arusa and given to drink as an arusa, because the Mishnah says that an arusa and a shemeres yavam are not given to drink the me'amarim. And they also don't collect the ksuba, because the pasuk says tachas yisheich. So, by the way, we don't need to swear about this, because she wouldn't be given at that time to drink anyway. It also can't be talking about where she was warned as an arusa and then secluded herself as an arusa and then was given to drink as an asua, because the pasuk says v'niko ha'ish me'avain, which teaches that me'amarim only do their checking if the man didn't do an aveir with her, and his marriage to her after her seclusion is an aveir, and therefore she would not be given to drink. And would not have to swear about this case. If so, why would a woman ever swear regarding the time period when she was in Arusa? It must be that she swears based on Gilgal Shua. And we see Gilgal Shua is a concept deraisa that's found in the Torah. In fact, Gemara, this can be the source for matters of Isser. How we know the source of Gilgal Shua for Mamonis? In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught that it's based on Kavah Chaimah. If Saita, who cannot be made to swear based on a single witness, can be made to swear with Gilgal Shua, then in Mamonis, where someone can be made to swear based on a single witness, surely he can be made to swear based on Gilgal Shua. Fact, Gemara, this can be the basis for a claim that is made bevadai. What's the basis for an uncertain claim? So, for the Gemara, Brisa says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, we learn this swearing outside of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning regular cases of swearing, from the swearing inside the Beis HaMikdash, meaning Soita. Just like regarding Soita, we treat a suffix as a case of certainty, the same will be with regard to other cases of swearing as well.